From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit as he brings the opening portion of a message entitled, Seven Symbols of the Holy Spirit. Throughout the Bible, the Holy Spirit is represented by various figures or manifestations, all of which teach us a particular truth about the Spirit's character and functions. The very first symbol of the Spirit in the New Testament appears at Christ's baptism, where it is said that the Holy Spirit descended upon the Savior in the form of a dove. This speaks to us of the purity of the Spirit, a quality which must characterize the child of God if he would know the power of the Spirit in his life. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns answers the question, How is the death of Christ relevant in the 21st century? This is an excerpt from Q&A with Alan Cairns, found in video format on our website, ltbsradio.com.
Well, how and why the death of Christ should be relevant to anybody in the 21st century? Well, let's get right back to basics. There's absolutely no difference between a man in the 21st century and a man in the first century. If it was relevant to the Apostle Paul, there's no reason why it shouldn't be exactly the same to me. The relevance should not be the same to me. Time does not make any real difference here, because Paul and I share the same need, and therefore we need the same Savior. But why should the death of Christ be relevant for any other person? That's the heart of the question, and it leads you to the very heart of the gospel. When you look at how God deals with mankind always, never forget this, on the basis of covenant relationship. We are by nature in Adam. God deals with every man as he is in Adam. We sinned in Adam, we fell with Adam, we came under condemnation, and ever since Adam, in Adam all die. Now, God has raised a last Adam. He calls Jesus Christ the second man. In other words, ideally, God only deals with two men, Adam and Christ. The first Adam, the last Adam, the second man. Now, in Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. So what's the relevance of the person and work of Christ to me? Jesus Christ is the only man who has ever satisfied God's justice in the precept and in paying the penalty. Jesus Christ is the only man who has ever, by his personal works of righteousness, earned the favor of God. Jesus Christ is the only man who has ever earned a righteousness and a place of acceptance in glory at the right hand of God. He's the only man who has ever done that. It is only in union with that man that any other man can ever enter into the blessing of righteousness, acceptance with God, and a place in glory. That's the significance of the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, how does it become relevant? That's why it's relevant, but why or how does it become relevant? The Bible says we are justified by faith. But what is faith? You hear people say, well, I believe that. And some preachers are foolish enough to say, do you believe John 3:16 is true? If you believe it's true, therefore you're saved. No, you're not. Just because you believe the fact doesn't say that that's saving faith. The Bible never describes saving faith in terms of mere mental assent. You may believe the historical facts of the gospel without having any heart interest in the gospel. Saving faith is such an assent of mind and will of the entire being that it leads you to a complete commitment of yourself to Jesus Christ. The old theologians used to say that faith is a uniting grace. In other words, by faith, there's a miracle happens. You are placed in Christ. That is, you are covenantally, as far as the plan of God goes, you are one with Christ, so that God will treat you as he treats Christ, and he'll never treat you apart from Christ. But something else happens. Christ is in you. The Spirit of Christ dwells in every man who believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ dwelling within you, he says you don't belong to him at all. So here's how it becomes relevant and powerful. This is the life-changing power of the gospel. Paul said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. He said if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. How does this work? By faith in Jesus Christ. You are in Christ. Christ is in you. You are a new person, a new creature. You have new desires. You have a new conviction about sin, a new hatred of sin, a new love for holiness, and you have a new ability to start living for God. There's something totally different. The power of the risen Christ comes into your life by faith in him. That's how what he did 2,000 years ago in pleasing God, satisfying God, and purchasing for all his believing people all the benefits of God's covenant of grace, including the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's how all that becomes relevant. By faith in Jesus Christ, you actually enter into the personal possession of these things that he has purchased and that God has promised.
Deep in my heart there's a gladness. Jesus has saved me from sin. Praise to his name, what a Savior. Cleansing without and within. Why do I sing of my Jesus? Why is he precious to me? He is my Lord and my Savior.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We want to say that we are greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We're grateful for the letters, the emails, and the phone calls we've received from many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word. Some have spoken of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS audio magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS quarterly magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. The upcoming edition will be focusing on the great 1859 revival which took place in Ulster. You may have a free copy of LTBS audio magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, why did Christ have to be baptized? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? And is the emerging church dangerous? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
This morning we're taking another step in the studies in the person and the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Some of the plainest teachings about the Holy Spirit in the Bible are given to us by the use of divinely chosen and therefore well chosen symbols of the Spirit. And thus today we're going to take time to select seven of these and look at the symbols of the Spirit in the Scriptures. Now let me say right at the beginning that we're not going to be exhaustive on this theme, maybe exhausting, but not exhaustive, on the theme of the symbols of the Spirit. For instance, I'm only going to make passing reference at this time to such things as the seal and the earnest. These are matters of everyday life which the Holy Spirit has taken and has made symbolic of His own work in the believers in Christ. But we're only going to mention those in passing today, simply because at a later date I trust to look at them much, much more fully. Nor indeed are we going to look at all the biblical symbols. For instance, the Bible uses, I think, some reference to the eyes of the Lord, with the meaning that the eyes represent the Holy Spirit. We find this in Zechariah 3 and 9, and we read another reference in Zechariah 4 and verse 10. But since this would involve us much too deeply, certainly more deeply than is good for our purpose now, in the interpretation of the prophecy of Zechariah, which is very interesting, but it would take us far afield from our purpose this morning, I'm going to leave out the dealing with the eyes of the Lord at this point in time. So we're going to take seven very familiar and straightforward symbols of the Holy Spirit as they're set forth for us in the Scriptures of truth. The first one we find mentioned in three of the four Gospels. We can take Matthew chapter 3 verse 16, where we read, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. The dove is the symbol of the Spirit that is first used in the New Testament. You'll find it in Matthew 3, Luke chapter 3 and 22, and again in John chapter 1 and verse 32. Now, to me, the dove speaks of various things, but surely in its Scripture context, it speaks first and foremost of the purity of the Spirit. If you go back to the book of Genesis chapter 8, you'll there find that Noah, after the flood began to recede, sent two birds out of the ark. He sent a dove and a raven. The dove came back because we read that Genesis chapter 8, if you start at verse 8, you'll find this story in verse 9 says, the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark. The raven, the unclean bird, was of course perfectly at home in the scene of devastation and corruption that was then upon the face of the earth. Rotting carcasses would give the raven its desired food, and no place could be too vile or filthy or unclean for the raven to put her foot upon. But the dove, the pure, clean, gentle dove from God, could find no clean place in the earth at that time, and therefore returned unto the ark. Now, I'm not taking the symbolism of that in any detail this morning. If you were with us last week, you'll remember that I did deal with it a little more fully then. But we can note this very, very simply, that because the ground was unclean, the dove could not rest upon it. Here is the overriding meaning, then, of this symbol of the dove representing the Holy Spirit. Remember that the Spirit of God is most often in Scripture called the Holy Spirit. Remember that He is the Holy Spirit who is grieved by sin. You remember that the Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 30, said, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of promise, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." What does he mean by not grieving the Holy Spirit? Well, look at the context. He says, verse 25, "Put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, be angry and sin not." Verse 27, "Give no place to the devil." Verse 28, "Let him that stole steal no more." Verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Here are the things which grieve the Spirit of God. My friend, let's stop on a very practical note this morning and realize here are the reasons then why God's people do not personally and fully enjoy the sweet ministry of the Spirit of God. This is why they do not enjoy the resting of the Holy Ghost upon them in all the fullness of His blessing and all the fullness of His power. It is because of sin cherished in the life. Sin that is scattered like corruption over all that we say and all that we do. Instead of putting away the old man and the lying and the evil speaking and the wrath and the bitterness and the dissension and the division and the worldliness which grieve the Spirit of God, we rather cherish these vipers to our breast. And the awful loss to us is that we do not enjoy the fullness of the Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And what a loss that is. You will remember in Genesis chapter 8, if we were to read on, that we would find that when the Holy Spirit, symbolized by the dove, comes back to the believer, he comes back with the olive leaf plucked off, or the new springing olive branch, probably it's more likely to be. This is what he brings. Now this is a very clear symbol in Scripture that of the evidence that the judgment is past. It is the evidence of a new life. It is the evidence of new fruit. In other words, it is the evidence of all that the merits of Christ's death and resurrection have procured for the believer in Christ. Let me tell you, my friend, you will never have evidences of spiritual life and spiritual fruit merely by some mechanical means of learning this and doing the other thing. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to convey to our hearts the fruit of the ministry of Christ. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit to bring to us the vital evidence right into our own lives of a saving interest in Jesus Christ. And I tell you, we would live on a higher spiritual plane were we ever receiving those glorious intimations from the Holy Spirit of what Christ is, of what Christ has done, and of what this actually means to our own heart and to our own life. The dove then speaks of the purity of the Spirit. May we ever remember that He who indwells the believer, making him the temple of God, is the Holy Spirit. May God give us a heart for holiness. Yearnings after holiness. We were singing that glorious psalm of David this morning. David, of course, was speaking of an earthly tabernacle that he longed to build. But we speak of our bodies as the temple of the Holy Ghost. He comes and he cries, "Arise, Lord, thou and the ark of thy strength, and enter into thy rest." May God give us that kind of desire for holiness today, that we would present our bodies before God and say, "Lord, here is the temple, purchased and prepared. Empty it of every foul and grieving thing, and enter into rest here with all the fullness and all the glory of thy Spirit." He's the dove, the purity of the Spirit.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.